Welcome to the Successful Farming Podcast. I'm Lori Boyer. My guest on the show today is AgriSafe CEO Natalie Roy. Natalie, my first question to get us going today is, tell me what AgriSafe is. What is your organization and what do you do there?
Sure. AgriSafe is a national nonprofit, and we were actually started in Iowa back in 2003. And the idea behind AgriSafe is we believe that doctors and nurses and others in rural America need to provide better care to farmers and ranchers. So what we do is we train health professionals to care for those who work in agriculture.
And Natalie, how did you come to that conclusion that there needs to be better care?
Well, that better care really was expressed a long time ago. Like I said, about 20 some odd years ago, there were nurses that lived in Iowa that were getting trained at the University of Iowa from professionals who understood unique risks in agriculture, such as risk of hearing loss, respiratory health risks, ergonomic risk. And so those rural nurses would go get trained at the university and then go back to their health department or rural health clinics and take the knowledge they learned to provide better care to those in agriculture. And they realized that because agriculture is really constantly changing and moving in new directions where there can be different risks today than there was yesterday, they recognize that, well, we need to form an organization that can really stay on top of those increased health risks. So, and an organization that's also farmer friendly. So those nurses came together and formed AgriSafe for the purpose of making sure that other health professionals could care appropriately and not misdiagnose perhaps a condition that a farmer was facing that was really work-related.
Would I be fair then, Natalie, in saying that the AgriSafe Network is a training organization?
Yeah, that's a great description. We are really the leader in distance education as it relates to health and safety and ag workplace. But we also do quite a bit on site in person. But we know because we're a national organization, we know that our virtual trainings can really reach vast audience quite quickly. We have increased in our offerings where even though originally the idea was to train the health professional, we have offerings that are also very valuable to the ag producer themselves. And those can be navigated easily on our website, see who the audience is. So if you know if you're attending a training that's meant for a clinician versus one that's meant for a farmer.
Is it a membership organization then?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do have a membership structure. Our membership structure allows for us to really invest in trainings where we may not have a source of funding. And so by being a member, you get access to what we call premium trainings. We just did a training the other day that was for members. But I would say that at least 75% of our trainings are free access. So you're not limited through your membership in order to be able to access those trainings.
Your membership then, Natalie, consists of farmers and ranchers, health professionals, and who else?
We welcome even ag companies. So the options for membership is really diverse. We're finding that anywhere from, you know, your local health department to an ag employer that might have 10 employees will find value in joining AgriSafe as a member because they get access to unique training, but they also get to connect with other folks that might have similar concerns or have questions about new advances or recommendations, especially as it relates to prevention. So, for example, we've started doing more work in the forestry sector than we have in the past. And so our membership allows folks to network in a way that, you know, on a national scale that otherwise they might have difficulty finding folks that specialize. Again, you know, engagement with AgriSafe is not dependent on membership. We have plenty of opportunities, but we see those companies and those employers who are looking for more advanced training, they find that membership valuable in that sense.
When someone does go through a training, do they get continuing education credits or certificate? What does that look like?
So it really depends on what the training is in terms of the continuing ed. If you're a clinician, for example, if you're a nurse and you take our nurse scholar course, you're going to get over 20 credit hours for taking that course. We know that's important for health professionals. If you are a farmer and you're taking a course, you get a certificate. So perhaps your employer might say, you know, I really want the whole crew taking this training on reducing heat stress illness or heat-related fatalities. Go ahead on the AgriSafe website, take the course, print out the certificate, and turn that in. So really, we're finding that there's value whether you need actual formal continuing education or you need that certificate from your employer. that our trainings provide a really great opportunity for employers to integrate the courses in their safety program.
Natalie, what would you say is the most popular course that healthcare professionals are taking?
I think that the area that health professionals probably struggle with the most is recommending the right respirator for the right ag exposure. And so that tends to be a very popular course. In fact, we have that coming up because you have so many different exposures in agriculture, from dust to working with disinfectants to having, you know, exposure to mold. There are different respirators for different jobs. And so we find that that's probably the most confusing and where we can be very helpful. Second to that, I would say that we're seeing quite a bit of increase the last couple of years in folks reaching out and getting access to trainings related to mental health. We have a course called QPR, which stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer. And that is really intended to help the layperson. So it's not just your health professional, but your community leader or other people in the community feel comfortable in talking to someone who might be at risk of suicide. People want to help their neighbor. They see their neighbor struggling and they want the skills to do that. So QPR is an example of a wonderful mental health course offering that we offer every month. It's full, it's virtually, and every month it's full. We fill all 70 seats, but it really helps someone navigate. You know, some people think that if you ask someone if they are thinking of taking their life, that will motivate them to do that. And it's actually the opposite. And so it gives folks the courage to have those difficult conversations with someone that they care about. So I think that that's a very popular topic area. And we do, again, a lot of these courses we also do in person. Like, we'll go to community events. We'll go, let's say your State Farm Bureau is having an event and you really want to have someone come talk about mental health and the resources, we'll make sure that happens.
Natalie, in addition to those two examples, what are a few other examples of trainings that you offer?
We offer quite a bit in the area of response during natural disasters. So for example, you know, with the awful wildfires, we know that ranchers, for example, are not going to stay indoors and watch their livestock suffer in fires. And they're going to go out and, you know, move their livestock away from fires. And so we have really good guidance on, okay, in the midst of really devastating wildfires, what are some safety precautions that ranchers can think through to protect themselves? One great example is wearing that N95 mask to protect themselves against the smoke. Another example is, you know, unfortunately, you know, floods are very common. And when we see farms flooded, we have problems that are very unique to the farm that, you know, when a home floods, it's devastating. When a farm floods, it's a big deal because now you have potentially contamination of that well water from water that's gone over that well head. You have perhaps zoonotic diseases because you have, you know, animals that are perhaps deceased. You have, of course, mold. Anytime you have all that organic matter that's wet, you have an increased risk for mold. And so we worry here at AgriSafe that after there is a natural disaster of a flood event, for example, we worry about that response because we're not confident that the people who are going to respond, whether it's FEMA or other groups, that they recognize why the agricultural community is unique and that when a farm floods, they have their own unique risk. So we really work hard to work with partners to anticipate a response before a flood event happens, because we know flooding happens all over the country. We have such a wide range of offerings that it's hard to kind of pinpoint one or the other. For example, with avian influenza, there was concern about the cleanup of the birds. And we know that the poultry in barns that are deceased, the amount of ammonia that gets built up is dangerous to the farmer as they remove those birds from the barn. So we were working very closely with folks in the universities to make sure that there was good guidance and cleanup. So the farmers were wearing the respirator with an ammonia cartridge and knew how to remove those birds safely. I think that's where you'll find AgriSafe is quick to respond. We're not going to wait 6 months after a devastation of avian influenza and say, well, maybe you should be careful when you go in and clean up the birds. We're going to react quickly and get the guidance out as fast as we can. And we want those who work in agriculture to reach out to us if they're not finding the information they need, because we know that there are emerging issues that happen quite often.
Great examples. Thank you for that. How often are the courses ran?
If you look at our website, we have probably at least two offerings a month, if not more, on a variety of topics. Those recordings, they live on our learning library. That's where I was saying, as a member, you can, if you missed a training, you can go back to our website and say, okay, I heard they did something on avian influenza response. I'm going to go, you know, if someone missed the live event, they can go find it on our learning lab and listen to it on their own time.
And Natalie, as far as the people who are teaching those courses, tell me more about them.
So the teachers of our courses are really experts in their field, and we're proud that we can find the folks that have dedicated their career to certain health concerns. For example, we work closely with a leader in hearing loss, and, you know, Dr. Marjorie McCullough, she does a lot of our programming in that space. So there's no way that staff at AgriSafe can get versed in all of these topic areas. So a lot of times you'll find the folks that teach these courses are from academia and they've really specialized their career. You also have folks in the service sector, public health, really a wide range of professionals. That's really what we are very proud of, is if you look at the course offerings, we bring in such a talented group of experts that want to share their information. I also want to add that our podcast that we offer called Total Farmer Health is also a wonderful way to learn from these experts. And that podcast is a podcast for the producer. So it's not overly technical or get into a lot of research jargon. It gets right to the point about, if you're working in agriculture, what are ways that you can keep yourself and those you care about who work in agriculture safe?
Natalie, just to be clear, the AgriSafe Network covers all 50 states?
Yes, that's correct.
Natalie, are there any special projects that AgriSafe is working on?
Here at AgriSafe, we're very proud of our 24/7 crisis line that was built to save lives. So that is available in 10 states. It's called the AgriStress Helpline. It is staffed by professionals who also answer for 988. In other words, if there is someone at risk of suicide and they call the AgriStress Helpline, they will receive the care that they would normally get if they also called 988. The difference is the specialists who answer for AgriStress Helpline understand agriculture. They've been trained in understanding what those stressors are, why someone who works in agriculture might have unique concerns, and really how to relate to them, because we believe that farmers and ranchers deserved access to a crisis line that was built for them and was intended to save lives. That line, again, is in 10 states. We hope that it will expand on a national level. The 10 states that that crisis line is in, I'll try to start from west to east if I can go that direction, is Oregon, Washington State, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Texas, Virginia, Missouri, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. I get all 10. That's where the crisis line is operating. Again, we are really advocating for that crisis line to be national in scope. If someone calls the line and they're not in crisis, but they want access to resources or information, that line becomes a resource line. And we can do that because we are constantly populating that line with information that's specific to that state. So, for example, with the wildfires happening now in Texas, we've had a lot of calls to that line. They're not necessarily calls of folks that are in crisis or risk of suicide, but they're wanting to get guidance on how to respond in the wildfire. So this line becomes an emergency resource line as well as a line that saves lives. And we're very proud of this line.
Natalie, how is AgriSafe actually funded?
The funding for AgriSafe really is diverse, and it comes from three different types of sources. So as a nonprofit, you know, you can imagine it's a lot to balance access to funding, especially if you are dependent entirely on government funding, for example. So since day one, we've balanced funding from three different strategies. One, we do write for government grants, although there's quite limited in terms of what the USDA and other federal agencies have available for public health work. So we have about a third of our funding is comes from that. We also have generous contributions from corporations, anything from CHS to Bayer to Nutrien to Farm Credit. So we're really proud of those sponsorships. And then we also have availability of funding that comes to us when organizations pay for training. The membership we talked about before is a way to diversify our funding, or organizations that want AgriSafe to come and be part of their onboarding of their employees. We look at opportunities there where we can sell those training seats. As much as possible, we want to make our trainings affordable and free if we can. So we are looking for unique sponsors in that area. And I would say that being a national organization and our budget is about $2 million, it's a decent sized budget, but it's hard to serve the entire nation when you have about 10 employees. So you really, for us to grow, we need to be able to continue to expand and develop relationships in ways that we can be truly responsive across the country.
Moving forward, is part of the plan to add services, to add employees, Natalie?
Yeah, I have these dream jobs in my mind, like, oh, if I had funding just for the person to do this. A great example would be whenever there is a natural disaster. Again, we know flooding and wildfires and even the emerging issue, what happened with avian influenza. We really could use a staff person who is responsible for a rapid response so that we have one person who's designated with watching what's happening across the country and then can move into action really quickly. That responsibility is spread across, you know, multiple staff. So there's no question that, you know, we need more boots on the ground. We have really done a great job with getting what we call total farmer health coaches out into communities, because as much as we're a virtual organization and you can interact with us through our webinars, we also want to be an organization that we can send that occupational health nurse to a community to work with them, especially if they've had an event that they need some extra assistance in public health. A great example of our dream of having more professionals out there is in 2019, there was flooding in Northeast Nebraska. It was a winter farm flood. It was a very dangerous flood. And fortunately, in that community, we had our nurse director, Linda Manuel, lived there, and she became the public health champion that worked closely with stakeholders in the state to help folks in the community that were impacted by a winter flood really navigate a really bad situation. And so we want Linda-type nurses all over the country that can be that public health person to respond to communities as they need that help.
Natalie, with regard to potential new services coming down the pike, is there anything else you'd like to add?
As I mentioned before, you know, definitely we'd like to see this crisis line go on a national scale. We do have the need to really respond at a higher level to the opioid crisis. We have had good guidance on that. AgriSafe has provided really good guidance on training clinicians, for example, to have conversations with farmers and ranchers about pain, because we know that folks that work in agriculture manage their pain themselves and live through pain each day, and which is probably unmanaged care. And so our response in the opioid space is to really first recognize that, you know, people are suffering. There are deaths, overdose deaths in rural America, and making sure that we can help prevent that. We have some programming related to reversing overdose deaths through the use of naloxone. So in terms of the opioid response, that's an example that we've done some work in, but we want to expand those services. So we'd like to see employers who have, you know, a crew of employees working in agriculture understand the value of keeping naloxone in their safety toolkit so they can prevent overdose deaths. I know it's a lot of responsibility to ask an employer to understand how to administer that, but we are not seeing numbers of opioid overdose deaths decline in rural America. And so we really need to encourage employers to be ready to respond. Another great example of areas that we'd like to expand on, we just don't have the capacity right now, is in the fishing industry, because many of the same occupational health hazards that you see in agriculture production are also found in the fishing industry. Aquaculture is a great example. There's been expansion of aquaculture on the coast. And so we believe that those in the fishing industry should benefit from similar trainings and services that we've provided for ag production. So you'll see some movement in that area. And finally, as I mentioned earlier, we have done more in the forestry sector and really trying to focus on what are those key health concerns. And so we've got great programming in areas such as ergonomics and forestry, Lyme disease prevention, even respiratory health. You think that you're outside and you don't have maybe at risk of respiratory health, but you absolutely do. And of course, hearing loss in the forestry sector is of great concern. So you'll see some expansion from AgriSafe in both the forestry and the fishing sector in the years to come.
And Natalie, just kind of perusing through your site, if you had any other comments, I see you can request a training. There's a resource library. Would you like to mention anything on those topics?
I would recommend folks to reach out to us. We're a small organization. So if you have a unique training need and you can't find it, we can customize trainings for you. The agricultural industry is so unique in that we know that most ag employers do not have like an HR resource department or occupational health nurse on staff. They're wearing that hat. So that person that's in charge of safety and health is also in charge of many other things on the farm. And so we want to be your substitute, your provider of that safety information and do it in a way that can be useful to you. So I would say that if you can't find what you need on the website or you're really struggling to understand how we're structured, just reach out to us and we'll work closely with you. I want to also say we're very farmer friendly. We are not interested in getting into the politics of agriculture. We want to be that trusted resource, and we believe that we've become that over the past 20 years.
Anything else you want to talk about or mention that I have not asked about?
I'd like to put in a plug for adopting a nurse. So if you check out our website, you'll notice that we have wonderful programming called Nurse Scholar, AgriSafe Nurse Scholar. And this is where we train nurses in rural communities to really understand the different risks in ag, whether it's your County Farm Bureau group or other groups that are looking to invest in the community. They're thinking about what is a worthy project. And if organizations can think about adopting a nurse or a couple nurses, what that means is that you're paying for their education through AgriSafe to get trained as an AgriSafe Nurse Scholar. And once you put dollars towards that nurse, what you're doing is you're really building the infrastructure within your community for someone to continue to provide good care and to connect with us, especially in the event of an emerging issue or a natural disaster. So if you're thinking about, you know, how best to support AgriSafe, I would say invest in someone in your community first, encourage them to take our training, help them take the training by helping to pay for it. And I think that the dividends will pay high in return for that community.
For more information on AgriSafe and any of the programs that Natalie and I talked about today, log on to agrisafe.org. I would like to thank my guest today, AgriSafe CEO Natalie Roy, and thank you all for listening. For Successful Farming, I'm Lori Boyer.